A Discourse of Comfort Against Tribulation by St. Thomas More. Book 2, Chapter 2. Anthony.
Cousin, I have bethought me somewhat upon this matter since we were last together, and I find it a thing that if we should go some way to work, would require many more days to treat of than we should haply find for it in so few as I myself believe that I have yet to live. For every time is not alike with me. Among them there are many painful, in which I look every day to depart. My mending days come very seldom, and are very shortly done. For surely, cousin, I cannot liken my life more fitly now than to the snuff of a candle that burneth within the candlestick's nose. For the snuff sometimes burneth down so low that whosoever looketh on it would think it were quite out, and yet suddenly lifteth up a flame half an inch above the nose, and giveth a pretty short light again, and thus playeth divers times, till at last, ere it be looked for, out it goeth altogether. So have I, cousin, divers such days together as every day of them I look even to die. And yet have I then, after that, some such few days again as you yourself see me now to have, in which a man would think that I might yet well continue. But I know my lingering not likely to last long, but out will go my snuff suddenly some day within a while, and therefore will I, with God's help, see my never so well amended. Nevertheless, reckon every day for my last. For though to the repressing of the bold courage of blind youth, there is a very true proverb that, as soon cometh a young sheepskin to the market as an old, yet this difference there is at least between them, that as the young man may hap sometimes to die soon, so the old man can never live long. And therefore, cousin, in our matter here, leaving out many things that I would otherwise treat of, I shall for this time speak but of very few. Howbeit, if God hereafter send me more such days, then will we, when you wish, further talk of more.
Chapter 3.
All manner of tribulation, cousin, that any man can have, as far as for this time cometh to my mind, falleth under some one, at least, of these three kinds. Either it is such as he himself willingly taketh, or secondly, such as he willingly suffereth, or finally, such as he cannot put from him. This third kind I purpose not to speak of now much more, for there shall suffice for the time these things that we treated between us the other day. What kind of tribulation this is, I am sure you yourself perceive. For sickness, imprisonment, loss of goods, loss of friends, or such bodily harm as a man hath already caught, and can in no wise avoid. These things, and such like, are the third kind of tribulation that I speak of, which a man neither willingly taketh in the beginning, nor can, though he would, afterward put away. Now, think I that, just as no comfort can serve to the man who lacketh wit and faith, whatsoever counsel be given, so to those who have both, I have, as for this kind, said in manner enough already. And considering that suffer it he must, since he can by no manner of means put it from him, the very necessity is half counsel enough to take it in good worth and bear it patiently, and rather of his patience to take both ease and thanks, than by fretting and fuming to increase his present pain, and afterward, by murmur and grudge, to fall in further danger of displeasing God with his froward behavior. And yet, albeit that I think that what has been said sufficeth, yet here and there I shall, in the second kind, show some such comfort as shall well serve unto this last kind too. The first kind also will I shortly pass over too, for the tribulation that a man willingly taketh himself, which no man putteth upon him against his own will, is, you know as well as I, for it was somewhat touched the last day, some of such affliction of the flesh, or expense of his goods, as a man taketh himself, or willingly bestoweth in punishment of his own sin, and for devotion to God. Now in this tribulation needeth he no man to comfort him, for no man troubleth him but himself, who feeleth how far forth he may conveniently bear, and of reason and good discretion shall not pass that. And if any doubt arise therein, it is counsel that he needeth and not comfort, and so the courage that kindleth his heart and inflameth it for God's sake and his soul's health shall, by the same grace that put it in his mind, give him such comfort and joy therein that the pleasure of his soul shall surpass the pain of his body. Yea, and while he hath in heart also some great heaviness for his sin, yet when he considereth the joy that shall come of it, his soul shall not fail to feel then that strange state which my body felt once in a great fever.
Vincent. What strange state was that, uncle?
Anthony.
Forsooth, cousin, even in this same bed, it is now more than 15 years ago, I lay in a tertian fever, and I had passed, I believe, 3 or 4 fits, when afterward there fell on me 1 fit out of course, so strange and so marvellous that I would in good faith have thought it impossible. For I suddenly felt myself verily both hot and cold throughout all my body, not in one part the one and in another part the other, for it would have been, you know, no very strange thing to feel the head hot while the hands were cold. But the self-same parts, I say, so God save my soul, I sensibly felt, and right painfully too, all in one instant, both hot and cold at once.
By my faith, uncle, this was a wonderful thing, and such as I never heard happen to any other man in my days. And few men are there out of whose mouths I could have believed it.
Courtesy, cousin, peradventure, hindereth you from saying that you believe it not yet of my mouth, neither. And surely, for fear of that, you should not have heard it of me neither, had there not another thing happed me soon thereafter.
I pray you, what was that, good uncle?
Forsooth, cousin, this. I asked a physician or twain, who then considered how this should be possible, and they both twain told me that it could not be so, but that I was fallen into some slumber and dreamed that I felt it so.
This hap, hold I, little caused you to tell that tale more boldly.
No, cousin, that is true, though. But then, happed there another, a young girl here in this town, whom a kinsman of hers had begun to teach physic, told me that there was such a kind of fever indeed.
By Our Lady, uncle, save for the credence of you, the tale would I not yet tell again upon that hap of the maid. For though I know her now for such that I durst well believe her, it might hap her very well at that time to lie, because she would that you should take her for learned.
Yea, but then happed there yet another hap thereon, cousin, that a work of Galen, De Differentiis Febrium, is ready to be sold in the booksellers' shops, in which work she showed me then the chapter where Galen saith the same.
Marry, uncle, as you say, that hap happed well, and that maid had, as hap was, in that one point more learning than had both of your physicians beside, and hath, I believe, at this day in many points more.
In faith, so believe I too. She is very wise and well learned, and very virtuous too.
Ah, but see now what age is. Lo, I have been so long in my tale that I have almost forgotten to what purpose I told it. Oh, now I remember me. As I say, just as I myself felt my body then both hot and cold at once, so he who is contrite and heavy for his sin shall have cause to be both glad and sad, and shall indeed be both twain at once. And he shall do as I remember holy Saint Jerome biddeth. Both be thou sorry, saith he, and be thou also of thy sorrow joyful. And thus, as I began to say, to him that is in this tribulation, that is, in fruitful heaviness and penance for his sin, shall we need to give none other comfort than only to remember and consider well the goodness of God's excellent mercy that infinitely surpasseth the malice of all men's sins. By that mercy he is ready to receive every man, and did spread his arms abroad upon the cross, lovingly to embrace all those who will come. And by that mercy he even there accepted the thief at his last end, who turned not to God till he might steal no longer, and yet maketh more feast in heaven for one who turneth from sin than for 99 good men who sinned not at all. And therefore, of that first kind of tribulation will I make no longer tale.
Chapter 5.
Forsooth, uncle, this is very great comfort unto that kind of tribulation, and so great also that it may make many a man bold to abide in his sin, even unto his end, trusting to be then saved as that thief was.
Very sooth you say, cousin, that some wretches are there who so abuse the great goodness of God, that the better he is, the worse in return are they. But, cousin, though there be no more joy made of his turning, who from the point of perdition cometh to salvation, for pity that God had, and all his saints, of the peril of perishing that the man stood in, yet is he not set in like state in heaven, as he should have been, if he had lived better before? Unless it so befall that he live so well afterward, and do so much good that he outrun, in the shorter time, those good folk that yet did so much in much longer. This is proved in the blessed apostle Saint Paul, who, of a persecutor, became an apostle, and last of all came in unto that office, and yet in the labor of sowing the seed of Christ's faith, outran all the rest so far that he forbore not to say of himself, I have labored more than all the rest have. But yet, my cousin, though I doubt not that God be so merciful unto those who, at any time of their life, turn and ask his mercy and trust in it, though it be at the last end of a man's life, and that he hireth him as well for heaven, who cometh to work in his vineyard toward night, at such time as workmen leave work, and goeth home, being then willing to work if time should serve, as he hireth him who cometh in the morning. Yet may no man, upon the trust of this parable, be bold all his life to lie still in sin. For let him remember that no man goeth into God's vineyard but he who is called thither. Now he who in hope to be called toward the night will sleep out the morning and drink out the day is full likely to pass at night unspoken to. Then shall he with ill rest go supperless to bed. They tell of one who was wont always to say that all the while he lived he would do what he pleased, for three words when he died should make all safe enough. But then it so happed that long ere he was old, his horse once stumbled upon a broken bridge, and as he labored to recover him, when he saw that it would not be, but that down into the flood headlong he must go, in sudden dismay he cried out in the falling, "Have all to the devil!" And there was he drowned with his three words ere he died, whereon his hope hung with all his wretched life. And therefore let no man sin in hope of grace, for grace cometh but at God's will. And that state of mind may be the hindrance that grace of fruitful repenting shall never after be offered him, but that he shall either graceless go, linger on careless, or with a care that is fruitless shall fall into despair. End of chapter 5.